Bird.
Yeah. Right then. I'm going to talk about wisdom today, as I have done before. But it's not what I've read before, although a lot of it will be familiar to you. I've used the Bible quotes from the King James Version, except where noted anyway. But of course, Richard will put it up there in the NIV, and it's just that I'm drawn so often to the King James Version of the Bible. I can't really explain why. Maybe it's background, isn't it?
Well, it's a more accurate version than the NIV as well.
Anyhow, wisdom begins with and ends with fear of the Lord, and it stems from holy reverence of the Lord God, His Word, the Bible. You can see in Proverbs 9, verse 10, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Man is so often conceited by believing himself wise, and this assumption is made in regard to worldly wisdom, as opposed to godly wisdom. Yet they're poles apart, and man couldn't be more deluded by thinking that. In the minds of most people, there's a constant battle going on, including mine. It's a moral battle between good and evil, right and wrong. And all too often, the human instinct prevails and sins are committed. For example, man's so-called wisdom often results in his accumulation of vast wealth. You know the sort of thing, money, mansion houses, huge yachts. That guy who owned BHS, he had it's a £100 million yacht that he has. Anyhow, what's it going to come to? The list goes on and on. But where does all this material wealth lead to? Matthew 6 and the end of verse 24. It says, "You cannot serve God and mammon." So, either one or the other has to take precedence in your mind, in your actions. Then let's consider wars. How do they come about? Is it inspired by wisdom? Well, it may be considered so in man's mind, at least initially. But how often following a war do we see problems occurring? And the very cause of the war exacerbated, and the situation being made all the worse than before. The only success really worth talking about is that which ensues when exercising godly wisdom. Ignore godly wisdom at your peril. What of God's advice regarding wisdom? Well, there's certainly plenty of it, whether it's noted duly, I suppose, is evidently opposed to that, isn't it? Probably the best place to start is with Solomon, and probably the wisest man who's ever lived prior to the appearance of Christ as a human being. Proverbs 1:1-7 says, that's Proverbs 1:1-7, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Verse 2, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." Verse 3, "To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity." Verse 4, "To give subtlety," that's prudence in the NIV, "to the simple," to the young man, "knowledge and discretion." Verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." Verse 6, "To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." Verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." If you wish, there's more about this and through the whole book of Proverbs, probably. But Proverbs 8:1-36 and you can read that later if you have a mind to. It's always worth revisiting Proverbs. It focuses your mind wonderfully. There's another aspect of worldly wisdom that can appear to be a well-thought-out formula for living life. But beware, what may seem right to man is often strongly influenced by the devil himself and revolves mainly around those things that tempt the carnal mind and vain gratification of the senses, etc. So how about you? Do you consider yourself wise? Well, it's naturally a matter of opinion and perspective, isn't it? But when you go to measuring your own successes, can you with hand on heart say that there's much associated evidence of wisdom tied up in the success you may have achieved? Hopefully you have achieved. Where can we find help in attaining godly wisdom? Here is 7 pointers worth considering, as to start off with anyway. Pray for wisdom, as it says in James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all mankind liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Point 2. Seek after wisdom with a determined effort to attain it. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Point number 3, meditate on God's word. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Point 4, heed God's counsel. Follow the inspirational teaching of the Holy Spirit. And you can see in John 14, verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Point 5, adhere to Bible principles. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And point 6. Beware of how God works in this world of ours. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. It's a verse that sticks in the mind and well worth keeping close in your heart. Also Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And point 7, take note of the wise and avoid the ungodly. Proverbs 13:20, which states it this way, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So, in seeking out wisdom, it must be held in mind to see things from God's perspective. We need to be guarded at all times, and especially where wisdom is concerned. Take a note from history and remember Solomon had greater understanding and discernment of the subject of wisdom more than any human being prior to Christ, as I said, and as we know. And yet even he violated the commandments. How unwise is that? And this occurred despite his being so diligent when working at attaining wisdom. Look at Ecclesiastes 1 and in verses 12 and 13. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Verse 13. I gave my heart to seek and search out wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. So I ask the question, if Solomon can depart from faith, then what about us, the people of this world today? Makes you realize how guarded you really need to be, doesn't it? Because we're all so deceived. Whether we like to admit it or not, we need to be on our toes. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron. How unwise can man be? We know that throughout the Bible, let alone in the latter days, that man has consistently and persistently oscillated between doing good wisely, only to undo the good by turning their backs on God. Man never seems to learn. People often follow the crowd, and there are endless examples in life where mass mob hysteria has occurred, where people follow some cause or other blindly. There's often peer pressure prevalent in such instances, but we need to exercise the character to turn away from ungodly people and causes. You need the confidence in God and his way to turn your back when these instances tend to draw you in and be your own person. No matter how unpopular we may appear to others, do the godly thing. It's vital that we have this character to be able to do that. And God can give you that character. As we read initially, the first thing to do is ask God for wisdom and he'll give it to you. It's as simple as that, really. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, this is in the NIV, as you will see as well. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. Verse 14, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. The only few find it. So be bold and act in a godly manner. You know, it's not easy to get to that point where you are part of God's kingdom. We know that Christ made it available to us. But to attain that final crown of glory is a lifetime process, really, and it's hard to work at. We need God's help all the way. Wisdom comes only from God through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Acts 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Wisdom begins here. John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through Jesus. Only when we begin to see things from God's perspective will we attain true enlightenment. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 states, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And a few more scriptures that can be helpful, if noted, could enrich the focus on godly wisdom. They're worth mentioning. James 3, 13 to 18, we won't go there. Philippians 2, 3 to 8, and the whole of Proverbs 7. And of course you can read them later if you're of a mind to. We could literally spend all day expounding this book of Proverbs. I know that I spend a lot of time in it. And there's a plethora of treasured wisdom to be had there, you know. But do we pay due attention to it? Because there are little quips and so forth, and sometimes you can just dismiss them without pondering on them and thinking too much about them. But there's so much wisdom there that sometimes when you pause for a while and think on what you're reading, you know, there's a mine of absolute valuable information there for us. Proverbs 1:33 says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." It's a comforting thought, isn't it? Proverbs 2:1-7, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandment with thee," verse 2, "so that thou incline ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding." Verse 3, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding." Verse 4, "If thou seekest her silver, and searchest for her as for hidden treasures." Verse 5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." Verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Verse 7, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler," which is a shield in the NIV, I think, "to them that walk uprightly." This world is drowning in worldly wisdom, preoccupied by the physical, the affluence, the wealth, self-prestige and vanity, etc., etc. Plenty of references to vanity and futility you'll find in Ecclesiastes. As I think you know, it keeps repeating that word, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, or that phrase rather. And there seems to be a great lacking of care, love and concern for the genuine poor and needy folk of this world. This carnal world is deceived by the devil and deluded into placing false dependence on material wealth, and it will all come to nothing. No more than idol worship, really, is it? The vast majority reject the ways of the Lord in spite of all the misery the carnal aspirations have brought on nation after nation, and cited in the history of the Bible over and over again. As you look through the Old Testament and the nation of Israel, constantly back and forth. God on their side, then you get somebody leading them who is leading them back into idol worship. It swings back and forth all the time. It's carried on right up to this point in time. Our idols today is the affluence of this world, and isn't it, amongst other things. We just do never learn. 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 20 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 20, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The so-called great of this world have a shock heading their way." 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." There may be a reversal of roles of the rich and the poor. What a shock that would be. Although at such times the things deemed so valuable now and sought after will surely be seen in a different light. In other words, the value will be something totally different, won't it? There'll be love instead of greed and selfishness. outgoing concern for everybody and just joy and peace. The treasures in God's kingdom will be of a godly essence, and all the greed and selfishness associated with the world's riches will be gone forever. And it can't be too soon, can it? Psalm 37:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." 1 Corinthians 3:18-23. Plenty of Bible, yeah, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 3:18-23, Rich. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." Verse 19. "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness." Verse 20. "And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." And verse 21 says, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Verse 22, "Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas," as Peter, "of the or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, are all yours." Verse 23, "And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." As a point of interest, verse 19 I just quoted there, above, is it's the only place in the New Testament where Job is directly quoted, and this lends authenticity to the book as part of Old Testament canon. Finally, just two more verses you'll be glad to hear. In Proverbs 14:16, it says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." There's a commentary here from the Matthew Henry's commentary regards this verse and renders it like this. "Holy fear is an excellent guard upon every holy thing and against everything that is unholy. It is wisdom to depart from evil, to be afraid of coming near the borders of sin, or dallying," I like that word, "dallying with the beginnings of it. So don't even go near it. You'll get contaminated," it's saying, isn't it? I think it's nicely put there, dangerous. Where was I? The beginning of it. "Presumption is folly. When he is warned of his danger, rages in confidence." This is a continuation of this this reference. "Furiously pushes on, persists in his rebellion, and plays upon the precipice as a fool." So he's going to fall off the ledge, isn't he, if he carries on like that. The next one, and the last verse, is Proverbs 14:7. Which says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." Again, an interpretation of this by Matthew Henry's commentary puts it this way. "A wicked man is a foolish man. We must decline such a one and depart from him. Sometimes the only way we have of reproving wicked discourse is by leaving the company and going out of the hearing of it. Don't even listen to it. Give it no time. Just walk away from it." That's the advice, and it's sound advice, because we tend to be influenced, don't we? And the influence of those influenced or driven by Satan is one of our greatest dangers. Beware of charismatic people. Look deeply into what is being said by them, and not the way it may eloquently be stated. It's human nature to believe the words of an attractive, charming individual. But don't be beguiled by the charmer. Consider very carefully the content of what is being presented to you. Remember, Lucifer could almost deceive Christ. So remember, wisdom is justified by her deeds. So I'll say no more. God bless and protect you all. And give us all wisdom. Hope you got something from that. There's plenty there for sure, apart from what I put in there.